Is this the man, the horse trader of India? Tell me, in a word, but do not name him. Ulaba said it was, at the top of her voice, with unprintable additions as she writhed in Wadeju's grasp. And I shall kill the bastard! The filthy villain would have cast me to death. I, who had guided and guarded him, he shall die, as I am a woman, I swear it. And as I am a queen, I shall have you whipped till you weep if you raise your voice in my presence again, says Mastiat mildly. It would not be the first time. Remember? I remember, snaps Ulaba, and glared at me. As I shall remember you also, dog. And I shall have my way in the end, dear sister. When the time comes, this jackal shall be paid a traitor's wages. That shall be as God wills, Mastiat indicated the stool. Sit, child, and be still. You who aspire to a throne should try to behave like a queen. What he did or did not do is for another day. We have greater matters before us now. Like what goody to guzzle next, apparently, for she was busy at the dishes even as she chided Ulaba, sounding like a patient teacher with a naughty pupil, and I guess this was a scene they'd played many times in Ulaba's childhood, and that it drove her wild. She wrenched free of Wadeju, stood blazing silently for a moment, and then stalked back to her stool. Mastiat selected what looked like a large, underdone steak, took a hearty bite, chewed reflectively, and directed her handmaiden to take a tray to me, indicating that I should help myself. I didn't know then that this was a considerable honour in Ab Court circles. I made a quick survey of the raw beef and roasts, surrounded by cakes and desserts, chose some skewered meat, and bowed civilly in Majesty's direction, but she was busy engulfing the last of her steak. Having belched delicately, she wiped her lips with the hem of that beautiful dress, began to spoon a pudding into herself, and signed to the handmaiden, who clapped sharply to call the room to attention. The old chamberlain, having clambered to his feet, bowed and tottered out, followed by the guards and Wadeju, who I was glad to see was taking Ulaba's knife with him. And then, before my wandering eyes, Mastiat laid aside her empty bowl and clicked her tongue. At this, three of the lions rose with a reluctant lethargy to match their mistresses, and padded out, followed by the bowing handmaidens, leaving the fourth lion, evidently a royal favourite, blinking at the queen's feet and purring like a motor engine. So, there we were, Flashy and the sister queens, and I'll not waste time rehearsing my bewildered thoughts. All that seems certain was that if Ulaba had attempted a coup, it had misfired. But her elder didn't seem much put out, and was giving courteous attention at last to her visitor. "You have earned a welcome by your patience," says she. "But first, I must know your true name." "Sir Harry Flashman, ma'am," says I, shoulders back, chin up. "Colonel, British Army, with messages from Sir Robert Napier, General Officer commanding Her Britannic Majesty's forces in Abyssinia." She nodded acknowledgement and glanced at Ulaba. "So, you are telling the truth? You did well to whisper it in my ear alone." "Pah!" snaps Ulaba. "At least you believe me. The Queen is gracious." "Be thankful for that," says Mastiat, "and for the Queen's mercy." "I ask no mercy from you." Ulaba was on her feet again. "I never have, and I never will." "You have never had to," says Mastiat, stroking her lion's mane. "The baby of the family must always be indulged and excused and forgiven whatever her fault, because she is the baby and knows well how to trade on it." Ulaba let out a squeal like a steam whistle, fists clenched, stamping. "You lie! I never made excuse or pleaded kinship. I have shown a bare face and fought for what should be mine. I am no hypocrite like you who talk of the Queen's mercy. What mercy have you shown to my friends, my faithful ones, to Zana and Adilu and Abite, you cruel, heartless woman?" And I'd not have believed it if I hadn't seen it. She burst into tears and stood there, knuckling her eyes. "What you would have done if they had plotted against your throne. But I was less cruel than you would have been. They died quickly. Even Zana, who betrayed your plot to me weeks ago, hoping for favor. He should have suffered as a double traitor, and you should have known better than to trust a discarded lover. Oh, stare, girl. Do you think I know nothing? She said.